And we are joined in the studio this week by Monica from doindubai.com. It's a fantastic foodie blog based here right in Dubai. And I guess we can do this blog, Monica, because so many restaurants are opening all the time.
Lots of restaurants are opening, and restaurants that are already here just have sort of new launches, relaunches, new looks, a new chef. So there's an awful lot going on. Dubai diners, I feel, are very spoilt for choice.
We are spoilt for choice, but I love it. Don't you?
I do, yeah. It's very good. Variety is the spice of life, as they say.
But I think when it comes to new restaurants, do you think we can be a little bit... Like, this is what I worry about. A new restaurant opens, we go along there, we really, really enjoy it, and then we can never go back.
No, why would you not go back?
Because there's a new one opening next week.
No, there's 7 days in a week. There aren't more than one. So you have to just find another day to go back to that one you really like. I think consistency is sometimes a bit of an issue with Dubai restaurants, because they open and sometimes they'll bring the international, the chef from the original branch, which could be from New York or from London or wherever. And it's all a big kind of... big exciting launch, and they've got even waiters and sommeliers and all the rest of it from there, and standards are very, very high. And then you go back again and you don't necessarily have a repeat, the same standards when you go again. The experience isn't quite the same, so I think that's a bit of an issue.
Well, I went to a restaurant that's sort of new the other day, Enigma at Palazzo Versace. I went last week. It was the launch of their new restaurant concept. They are now a Turkish restaurant. Now, if you listen to this thinking, I've heard that before, Enigma, you have heard it before, because what they do is they have a new restaurant concept every 3 months. It is, so it changes completely all the time. It's now under a new chef called Chef Yunus Emre Aydin. I hope I've got that right, who has got a lot of weight on his shoulders. He is following two Michelin star chefs, Kiki Da Costa, who was the first chef they had there, and Bjorn Franzen in that kitchen. Now, that's a lot of pressure, right?
Yeah, but I reckon he's quite capable, because he is incredibly talented in himself.
He is hugely talented. But what do you think about a restaurant changing every single 3 months? Is it something that can sustain, or is it the thing that you would go to once, Monica, and you wouldn't necessarily go back till the next chef?
I would go back. I think it's that's not the only restaurant that's doing that. I think Intersect by Lexus sort of wanted to come up with the same thing, and they've got Greg Maloof, who's doing a Middle Eastern Levantine menu, and it wasn't him before. So yes, I think it was, if it was accessible to me, and I won't lie here, I don't think the Palazzo Versace is necessarily very accessible.
Now, why is that?
Where is it? I've been there. I went to the Venita. Is that the restaurant they've got there? They have like an Italian restaurant. There was a launch of a dinner there, and it just seemed like to be in the middle of nowhere toward Festival City, I want to say.
Do you know what, though? The thing I love most about it is the location. It is.
But do you not feel it's in the middle of nowhere? It's sort of not connected to anything else. There isn't really much else there. You're on a motorway, and then suddenly you see a brown sign, Palazzo Versace. You veer off, and there it is. It's just not connected to anything else. It's not. It doesn't have any context.
No. For me, I feel like, because I used to live in Merdiff, I know that area really well.
Oh, okay,
and I would spend a lot of time in Waffy at Seville's and places like that.
Right.
So for me, it's an area that I've known like for the last 10 years. Mm. And because it's kind of plonked there with nothing around it just yet, it is going to be the centre of now, eventually. You know, they're building all the way along there.
Mm.
So I think they've got in early with a prime spot. And I've never been anywhere where you go for dinner and you walk out onto the terrace and you've got all of these bright lights down at Festival Centre and the bridges.
Yeah,
and
I've been on the terrace. The terrace is really, really
the
beautiful.
The dhows come up and down. Yeah. And it's a completely different view that you get to anywhere else in Dubai,
The view's really beautiful. I think we saw some people sort of paddling, you know, doing that dragon boat racing. And that was very, very nice. But if I was a tourist and I was coming to the brand Palazzo Versace in Dubai, which is a sort of big ticket, shiny, glitzy brand, and then I ended up there, I don't think I'd have been excited about being located there. I have to be honest with that. And while we were there, there were some beautiful offerings. I was early. I went to the bar. They were telling me all about their sort of happy hour, very, very classy, all the rest of it. And he said, you know, there's just no one here. I mean, people don't come at the moment.
Well,
so maybe that was toward the end of the summer. Maybe things are going to get better now that it's going to get cooler.
Us not being tourists, though, I love a secret destination.
It's not a secret anymore because we've told everyone about it on the ticket. So.
But I love to feel like I'm going somewhere that not everyone knows about yet.
Yeah. So when you were there, were there a lot of people around you? What was the situation?
It was full. It was full when I was there.
Because they booked especially to go to Enigma.
Yes.
And that was it. So they wouldn't necessarily... The hotel isn't sort of buzzy, but they had come because Enigma's
it
located there.
It was pretty buzzy.
Was
in
it?
Fact,
okay.
There was a lot of kind of business type people that I would say getting photographs taken with... I used to work in business, and it was like an award for sales or something, I think, at the front door. So there was definitely people humming around in there. And I know what you mean. It's kind of off Shadeside Road, the petrol station before you hit Garhood Bridge, heading towards Murder. If you take a right there and you kind of go under the bridge. I really like the location, but Chef Yunus is the new chef who's there. He's from Marmaris in Turkey. And what I really like about him, I got chatting to him during dinner, which is why it's a little bit noisy. He never expected to be a chef.
I did 6 years sailing. I went to all the Greece and Aegean islands there. When I was decided to go to high school, I went to Anatolian prison school, you know, which is there. There is a three different place. One is reception, the other one is service, the third one is kitchen. All of my best friends, they went to kitchen. Also, my sister, she pushed me a lot. She told me, you need to go to kitchen, you need to go to kitchen, you need to go to kitchen. I decided to go there around when I was 16 years old. And after, everything was changed. Before, there was nothing on my mind. I don't think about, I will cook one day, I will be the head chef somewhere. Nothing. I have to dream to be captain, one of the big guys, you know?
You can hear how busy it is there, Monica.
I can, yeah.
I love that about chefs as well, who never want to be chefs. Vineet Bhatia never wanted to be a chef, just ended up in a kitchen and then fell into it and loved it. And I think they're some of the best chefs in the world.
Yeah, there's a great documentary, Chef's Table, on Netflix. And one of the episodes is set in Slovenia. And it features a husband and wife duo. And at the beginning of their career, the husband was the chef and the wife didn't really know what she wanted. She perhaps wanted to become a diplomat. And then when they inherited this restaurant, they swapped roles. So he became like the sommelier and then watching the family, and she became the chef. And she's now world revered. It's incredible. Gosh.
I did see that film Burned as one of the planes. I was desperately looking for something to watch. Have you seen that one?
No.
Burned?
Mm-mm. Yeah, Bradley Cooper.
And it's about the chef thing and the sort of young girl and then how their roles reverse and everything and how they get their little girl in. And she wouldn't eat anything and how this chef's job. And I think if a chef can get a fussy child to eat, then I think they're doing a very, very, very good job because lots of mothers fail miserably at that.
Something else I think they do a good job in is if they can take cuts of meat that you would not normally be eating in a high-class restaurant and make them taste good. They had lamb neck on the menu. Have you ever had lamb neck?
Nope. But I did have to write an article recently on what people eat at Eid al-Adha, because, you know, that's a sort of sacrificial lamb that they do. And it was very, very interesting because from places like Morocco, they even eat tail and very, very unusual cuts of meat. So all the organ meat, brain, heart, liver, tail as well, and apparently make it very appetizing. So I have done lots of research on this, but is it tempting to me? No, it's not.
Well, you have to cook it in a special way. You do have to cook it well. This is how Yunus does his lamb neck.
We are cooking in the vacuum bag, 68 degrees steam for 36 hours. Writing 7 spices, but I have 8 spices in the lab. But one of them is secret, it's with me. This one, we cooked before, it was 2010. We create one lamb neck, the 7 spice, but with powder. It was very heavy. When you send the guests, we had a lot of complaints. But chef, we don't want to change the recipes. After, I took my way. I tried. It was nice. For me, I have 30 months nephew already. If I can give him wagyu beef, white truffle, and lobster, he can cook as well. If we can use the poor food, and if we can create the fantastic, for me, this is the chef.
It's a good point, though, if you can use cheaper cuts of meat and make it taste good.
And how much is he charging for that at Enigma? I'm sure it's not very cheap, Chef. Chef Steph.
You're paying fine dining prices, but for the first time ever, they've got an a la carte menu, which means you can kind of pick and choose what you want to eat, whereas it used to just be a full tasting menu where you'd have 7, 8, 10 courses.
Yeah.
So now you can go along, Turkish food, the bread's good. Like, they've got great stuff on the menu.
But here's the argument. I would rather go out less, save up, and do the tasting menu than go out more often and just do a la carte. Monica, what are your feelings on this? Because you get the whole magic and you really understand who the chef is, their vision, when you do the tasting menu.
You do sometimes, and I think La Luth is a really good example of that. I think I came and chatted about that when it opened, and I was very, very sceptical, but it was Alain de Varhive from El Bulli, ex-El Bulli, and he definitely knew what he was doing. But then, I mean, the next place we're going to talk about is Miss Lily's. They've just launched a new brunch, actually, and I'm really delighted that they don't have a set menu for their brunch. So I think it depends on the restaurant, what mood you're in, but everybody's more health conscious, and I don't think it's a bad thing to have an a la carte menu, but love it when chefs give their suggestions of good combinations, whether they're 3, 4, or 7 courses.
We are going to come back and talk about Miss Lily's because they've got a new brunch. Also, a new restaurant is opening in Dubai in December, and we're pretty excited about it. These guys were very successful. The city was sad when their last fine dining venture closed. That was about 5 years ago. Got all the information on the way. Still looking for someone who would like to go on that British Airways Flying with Confidence course. It's happening on the 15th of October. It's ran globally, this course, for 30 years. They've helped over 50,000 people overcome their fear of flying. They helped me, for sure. Mm-hmm. It was a really fun course to take as well. You learn all about the science of flying.
That's the thing, because a lot of people, they will fly, but they do still feel anxious. So why go through that if you can be helped?
Honestly, knowledge is power. If you are a frightened flyer, if you get a bit, you know, nervous when the turbulence hits and you have to put your seatbelt on, please do get in touch with the show today. Maybe you want to nominate someone else who is frightened of flying for this course. It's an expensive course. Like, it's worth the money. Mm-hmm. But if this is you and it affects you, get it for free. Drop us a text, 4001. At the end of the week, we will be telling you whether you'll be coming along with myself and Justine Jackson from News, who's scared of flying, to the Capital Club in DIFC on October the 15th. Now, all afternoon, we've also been talking about a new tour, which is pretty awful, Zara.
Yeah, it's a tour that really is based around the disappearance of Madeleine McCann in Portugal. This investigation has been going on for a decade now. And we actually put a poll up on our Twitter page, Dubai1038FM. And we asked, you know, would you take this tour? And right now, the poll stands at 40% saying yes, 60% saying no.
We are amazed that anyone said yes at all, to be honest. We did have a caller earlier on who also said yes. Lots of texts coming in on this.
And this is an interesting one from Klaus, who says maybe people want to see what it's all about. There are hundreds of thousands of missing kids around the world, but this one case has got way more interest from the media. I wouldn't go on the tour, but I can understand why some would be curious to see what the story is all about.
Can you understand why people would be curious? We are curious. A lot of dark tourism goes on. We've been hearing about it today all over the world. Are you one of the people that would take this tour? Let us know on 4001.
Foodie Tuesday.
And we are joined in the studio this week by Monica from doindubai.com. It's a fantastic foodie blog based here right in Dubai. And I guess we can do this blog, Monica, because so many restaurants are opening all the time.
Lots of restaurants are opening, and restaurants that are already here just have sort of new launches, relaunches, new looks, a new chef. So there's an awful lot going on. Dubai diners, I feel, are very spoilt for choice.
We are spoilt for choice, but I love it. Don't you?
I do, yeah. It's very good. Variety is the spice of life, as they say.
But I think when it comes to new restaurants, do you think we can be a little bit, like, this is what I worry about. A new restaurant opens, we go along there, we really, really enjoy it, and then we can never go back.
No, why would you not go back?
Because there's a new one opening next week.
No, there's 7 days in a week. There aren't more than one. So you have to just find another day to go back to that one you really like. I think consistency is sometimes a bit of an issue with Dubai restaurants, because they open and sometimes they'll bring the international, the chef from the original branch, which could be from New York or from London or wherever. And it's all a big kind of big exciting launch, and they've got even waiters and sommeliers and all the rest of it from there, and standards are very, very high. And then you go back again and you don't necessarily have a repeat, the same standards when you go again. The experience isn't quite the same, so I think that's a bit of an issue.
Well, I went to a restaurant that's sort of new the other day, Enigma at Palazzo Versace. I went last week. It was the launch of their new restaurant concept. They are now a Turkish restaurant. Now, if you listen to this thinking, I've heard that before, Enigma, you have heard it before, because what they do is they have a new restaurant concept every 3 months. It is, so it changes completely all the time. It's now under a new chef called Chef Yunus Emma Aydin, I hope I've got that right, who has got a lot of weight on his shoulders. He is following 2 Michelin star chefs, Kiki da Costa, who was the first chef they had there, and Bjorn Franzen in that kitchen. Now that's a lot of pressure, right?
Yeah, but I reckon he's quite capable, because he is incredibly talented in himself.
He is hugely talented. But what do you think about a restaurant changing every single 3 months? Is it something that can sustain, or is it the thing that you would go to once, Monica, and you wouldn't necessarily go back till the next chef?
I would go back. I think that's not the only restaurant that's doing that. I think Intersect by Lexus sort of wanted to come up with the same thing, and they've got Greg Malouf, who's doing a Middle Eastern Levantine menu, and it wasn't him before. So yes, I think if it was accessible to me, and I won't lie here, I don't think the Palazzo Versace is necessarily very accessible.
Now, why is that?
Where is it? I've been there. I went to the Venita. Is that the restaurant they've got there? They have like an Italian restaurant. There was a launch of a dinner there, and it just seemed like to be in the middle of nowhere toward Festival City, I want to say.
Do you know what, though? The thing I love most about it is the location. It is. Because,
but do you not feel it's in the middle of nowhere? It's sort of not connected to anything else. There isn't really much else there. You're on a motorway, and then suddenly you see a brown sign, Palazzo Versace. You veer off, and there it is. It's just not connected to anything else. It's not. It doesn't have any context.
No. For me, I feel like, because I used to live in Merediff, I know that area really well. And I would spend a lot of time in Woffy at Seville's and places like that.
Right.
So for me, it's an area that I've known like for the last 10 years. Mm. And because it's kind of plonked there with nothing around it just yet, it is going to be the centre of now, eventually. You know, they're building all the way along there. Mm. So I think they've got in early with a prime spot. And I've never been anywhere where you go for dinner and you walk out onto the terrace and you've got all of these bright lights down at Festival Centre and the bridges.
Yeah,
and
you see been on the terrace. The terrace is really, really
the
beautiful.
The dhows come up and down. Yeah. And it's a completely different view that you get to anywhere else in Dubai, don't you think?
The view's really beautiful. I think we saw some people sort of paddling, you know, doing that dragon boat racing. And that was very, very nice. But if I was a tourist and I was coming to the brand Palazzo Versace in Dubai, which is a sort of big ticket, shiny, glitzy brand, and then I ended up there, I don't think I'd have been excited about being located there, I have to be honest with that. And while we were there, there were some beautiful offerings. I was early, I went to the bar, they were telling me all about their sort of happy hour, very, very classy, all the rest of it. And he said, you know, there's just no one here. I mean, people don't come at the moment. Well, so maybe that was toward the end of the summer. Maybe things are going to get better now that it's going to get cooler.
Us not being tourists, though, I love a secret destination.
It's not a secret anymore because we've told everyone about it on the ticket. So.
But I love to feel like I'm going somewhere that not everyone knows about yet.
Yeah. So when you were there, were there a lot of people around you? What was the situation?
It was full. It was full when I was there.
Because they booked especially to go to Enigma.
Yes.
And that was it. So they wouldn't necessarily... It was the hotel isn't sort of buzzy, but they had come because Enigma's located
there.
It
was pretty buzzy. In fact, there was a lot of business type people that I would say. Getting photographs taken with... I used to work in business, and it was like an award for sales or something, I think, at the front door. So there was definitely people humming around in there. And I know what you mean. It's kind of off Shadeside Road, the petrol station before you hit Garhoud Bridge, heading towards Merediff. You take a right there, and you kind of go under the bridge. I really like the location, but Chef Yunus is the new chef who's there. He's from Marmaris in Turkey. And what I really like about him, I got chatting to him during dinner, which is why it's a little bit noisy. He never expected to be a chef.
I did 6 years sailing. I went to all the Greece and Asian islands there. When I was decided to go to high school, I went to Anatolian prison school, you know, which is there is a three different place. One is reception, the other one is service, the third one is kitchen. All of my best friends, they went to kitchen. Also, my sister, she pushed me a lot. She told me, you need to go to kitchen, you need to go to kitchen, you need to go to kitchen. I decided to go there around when I was 16 years old. And after, everything has changed. Before, there was nothing on my mind. I don't think about, I will cook one day, I will be the head chef somewhere. Nothing. I have to dream to be captain, one of the big guys, you know?
You can hear how busy it is there, Monica.
I can, yeah.
I love that about chefs as well, who never want to be chefs. Vineet Bhatia never wanted to be a chef, just ended up in a kitchen and then fell into it and loved it. And I think they're some of the best chefs in the world.
Mm. Yeah, there's a great documentary, Chef's Table, on Netflix. And one of the episodes is set in Slovenia. Mm. And it features a husband and wife duo. And at the beginning of their career, the husband was the chef and the wife didn't really know what she wanted. She perhaps wanted to become a diplomat. And then when they inherited this restaurant, they swapped roles. So he became like the sommelier and then watching the family. And she became the chef. And she's now world revered. It's incredible. Gosh.
I did see that film Burned as one of the planes. I was desperately looking for something to watch. Have you seen that one?
No.
Burned?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bradley Cooper.
And it's about the chef thing and the sort of young girl and then how their roles reverse and everything and how they get their little girl in and she wouldn't eat anything and how this chef's job. And I think if a chef can get a fussy child to eat, then I think they're doing a very, very, very good job because lots of mothers fail miserably at that.
Something else I think they do a good job in is if they can take cuts of meat that you would not normally be eating in a high-class restaurant and make them taste good. They had lamb neck on the menu. Have you ever had lamb neck?
Nope. But I did have to. I did have to write an article recently on what people eat at Eid al-Adha, because you know that's a sort of sacrificial lamb that they do, and it was very, very interesting because from places like Morocco they even eat tail and very, very unusual cuts of meat. So all the organ meat, brain, heart, liver, tail as well, and apparently make it very appetizing. So I have done lots of research on this. But is it tempting to me? No, it's not.
Well, you have to cook it in a special way. You do have to cook it well. This is how Yunus does his lamb neck.
We are cooking in the vacuum bag, 68 degrees steam for 36 hours. Writing 7 spices, but I have 8 spices in the lamb. But one of them is secret, it's with me. This one, we cooked before, it was 2010. We create one lamb neck, it's 7 spices, but with powder. It was very heavy. When you send the guests, we had a lot of complaints. But chef, we don't want to change the recipes. After, I cook my way. I tried. It was nice. For me, I have 30 months nephew already. If I can give him wagyu beef, white truffle, and lobster, he can cook as well. If you can use the poor food, and if you can create the fantastic, for me, this is the chef.
It's a good point, no? If you can use cheaper cuts of meat and make it taste good.
And how much is he charging for that at Enigma? I'm sure it's not very cheap, Chef. Chef Steph.
You're paying fine dining prices, but for the first time ever, they've got an a la carte menu, which means you can kind of pick and choose what you want to eat, whereas it used to just be a full tasting menu where you'd have 7, 8, 10 courses.
Yeah.
So now you can go along, Turkish food, the bread's good. Like, they've got great stuff on the menu. Hmm.
But here's the argument. I would rather go out less, save up, and do the tasting menu, then go out more often and just do a la carte. Monica, what are your feelings on this? Because you get the whole magic and you really understand who the chef is, their vision, when you do the tasting menu.
You do sometimes, and I think La Luth is a really good example of that. I think I came and chatted about that when it opened, and I was very, very sceptical, but it was Alain de Varhiv from El Bulli, ex-El Bulli, and he definitely knew what he was doing. But then, I mean, the next place we're going to talk about is Miss Lily's. They've just launched a new brunch, actually, and I'm really delighted that they don't have a set menu for their brunch. So I think it depends on the restaurant, what mood you're in, but everybody's more health conscious, and I don't think it's a bad thing to have an a la carte menu, but love it when chefs give their suggestions of good combinations, whether they're 3, 4, or 7 courses.
We are going to come back and talk about Miss Lily's because they've got a new brunch. Also, a new restaurant is opening in Dubai in December, and we're pretty excited about it. These guys were very successful. The city was sad when their last fine dining venture closed. That was about 5 years ago. Got all the information on the way.
Foodie Tuesday.
We're talking food on the ticket. We've got Monica here from doindubai.com. And Miss Lily's have got a new brunch, Monica.
Yeah, we tried this last weekend. And I think I hadn't been to Miss Lily's before, but I'd heard lots about it and seen lots of sort of very Instagrammable. And it's a shame Mark's not here, because I usually would have sent him a music clip and wanted to play some nice reggae in the background.
You can do that with us.
I can. Oh, you are technical as well, girls. I'm glad to hear that.
So like
I will next time.
Very technical.
I will now. He might probably be back the next time I'm here. So very sort of reggae, you've been there, kind of colourful Jamaican vibe. They've got a new brunch on Friday and Saturday. And what I liked about the brunch was what I was saying before. It isn't this sort of set brunch and, you know, sort of 250 dirhams plus, where you have to try all the items that you're entitled to, so you feel you've got some value. So you can just pick up as little or as less as you like. So I had a selection of things. I tried the ackee. Anybody know about ackee? Very
nope.
Jamaican.
No.
It's very, very Jamaican thing. It's they have ackee and saltfish. It's a very Jamaican combination. But they
like saltfish.
You had like the saltfish. Well, they gave us a little bit of that to try. But the ackee, they did in a hummus, which I thought it was caviar or something on the top. It was like dark black kind of caviar. It wasn't. It was char-grilled scallions, which I think we call spring onions. On this hummus, and it was really, really delicious. And I looked up ackee, and it's a fruit. They actually import it canned. Very, very difficult to get it right if it's ripe, but it can be very dangerous for you if you don't have it correct, but made into this hummus was delicious. And in texture, it's a bit like an avocado, but it's quite bright yellow and very, very sort of Jamaican national dish. They had a very, very interesting tropical fruit plate again, which was very Jamaican. So yeah, you can have as little as you like. I think my husband had the scrambled eggs and smoked salmon.
That is not the sell, though.
What's not the sell?
For me, for a brunch, you can have as little as you want. No thanks.
Well, it is for me the food review. It's like, oh my god, not another brunch that I have to eat, because you don't want to feel, well, I haven't got value for money. And this is going back to Zara's point. If you want to go out a little bit more, but you think, oh gosh, I'm going to have to fork out a minimum of 200-300 dirhams plus, and then I'm going to eat lots to get value for that, then great, just go to very nice places, different places, and just order 2-3 things, share them, and they're fine with that, and you still get the same experience. And then you know, well, would I want to return here for a more expensive ticket later on?
And how was the vibe in there for brunch? Because I've been there for dinner before, and everyone was dancing.
No, everyone was certainly not dancing. But what was very, very creepy was I was saying to my husband, what soundtrack should I play? And I was thinking, I think Mark and I are probably a little bit nearer in age than you and Zara are to us. And I thought, hey, did you remember that one called Pass Di Duchy From Di Left?
And of course.
You did remember it. Not the new version, the old musical youth version. So I thought, let me play that. And I'm not joking, the next song that came on was that Pass the Duchy.
Spooky.
And my husband said, have they got a DJ? Are they listening here? And I got up and walked around, and they did have a DJ. But I don't think he would have heard. I don't know. But that really freaked me out. So they played that, but it was just one of those coincidences.
And how much was this brunch?
Well, as I said, we ordered the hummus and he had the scrambled eggs. So it was just a la carte prices. I mean, like 30, 40 dirhams for the starters, nearer 60, 70, depending on what you're having for the main courses. So I can't remember what it was in total. But
all right. So from a restaurant that we can go to already to a restaurant that we won't be able to go to yet, but you will eventually. Do you remember Table 9?
Yeah. I remember Table 9. I've eaten at Table 9 at the Hilton in Dera side.
Yeah, it was Ver before that with Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay's Ver, yeah.
It's still, my parents still talk about that restaurant. I took them there when they came out and they're still like, oh, best meal we've ever had. Mm-hmm. Nick and Scott, they met the chefs. They loved it. But I was invited across to Ziggy Bay at the weekend, which was incredible. Never, ever been there before. And I was invited to try some dishes that might be on the menu at a new restaurant called The Folly. So Nick and Scott from Table 9 are behind this restaurant. Scott was in the kitchen halfway through service. So I went in there to find out a little bit more about the restaurant.
For us, it's our first restaurant on our own backs. Obviously, Table 9 was our first restaurant, but we inherited a restaurant. But this is, I guess this is what we wanted Table 9 to be all those years ago. You know, we've designed the restaurant, the plates are ours, the menus, the cocktails, the music, the uniforms, everything. Everything is ours. You know, we've got a great investor that wants to let us do what we believe in, and he believes in us to pull it off. So it's a combination of all of our ideas and thoughts for the last 5 to 10 years. Me and Nick have been working together since 2010 and talking about our own restaurant since 2006. It's something we've waited a long time to get. We've got a great location now in the Madinat. Really excited about that. We've got an outside bar. We're going to do some cool cocktails. We've got a great bar manager. The food style will be like Table 9, but more of an evolution. It's not going to be more of a... We're looking for more of a relaxed social atmosphere, not too formal, you know, relaxed informal service, but still really high standard. The food is going to be an evolution of Table 9, but a little bit more relaxed environment, less of a tasting menu, set menu, more you can choose, pick and choose how many dishes you want. If you want to come and have one or two dishes, try something. Or like tonight, we've done a set menu that's 6-7 courses to kind of showcase what the food's about.
So a lot of people are stopping doing these huge menus and giving people more choice if they want to eat less, which is great. Because Zara, you said you don't like to go out and eat a whole menu unless it's a special occasion.
Yeah, exactly. Although, while I was listening to Scott, and the menu sounds fantastic, really excited for The Folly, I was just thinking to myself, you went into the kitchen halfway through service, you cheeky so-and-so. I would have killed you if I was a chef.
I know. I just went in there and had a chat. Like, stopped it all down. Price is not confirmed yet, but I did get a bit of an indication as to what we can expect price-wise.
It's going to be between, you know, we want to price maybe 6-7 dishes at about 45, 55 dirhams. Then we'll have 6-7 dishes at 75 dirhams, and then 6-7 dishes at 95, and then the desserts weigh about 40. So to give people a, you know, it depends on what, obviously what you're ordering. If you're going for a nice expensive piece of meat, you know, we're going to have like a Wagyu sirloin like you've had tonight. Obviously it costs money, so it's going to be in the higher price bracket, and we're going to work it that way.
What do you think, Monica, about those prices? Sound good?
Yeah, they don't sound very different. They don't sort of sound too much out of pocket. I think the location that, have you mentioned that is at the Madinat, it's going to be at the Madinat Jumeirah. I think that's going to be very accessible in terms of location for lots of people. And I happened to speak to Scott, just coincidentally, about the same thing. And he said, and I also feel perhaps the Madinat, the restaurants there have slightly lost their way. So maybe they do need this sort of injection of something new, high quality food with local twists, as in not necessarily Arabic local twists, but whatever's fresh in the market that they want to turn their hand at producing for us. So I think it's going to be interesting. Yeah, nice one to watch. And they're very talented.
Have you ever eaten pigeon before?
I haven't eaten pigeon.
That was on the taster menu. I ate pigeon for the first time.
And how was that? Was it like a kind of Moroccan style, like with prunes, I want to say? With
raisins, it wasn't.
Prunes? How was it? How did they do it?
It was pigeon cooked three different ways. Mm. So on the very top was like a little battered pigeon leg. Very small.
Okay.
And it was interesting for me because I'd fed the pigeons as a kid.
Not so that very one that torn. Was slaughtered and then served to you on your plate.
Let's not use the word slaughtered.
Sorry. No.
But it was a weird experience. Very tasty, but very gamey. But something they did really well at table 9 that I liked was the chef's table inside the kitchen.
Mm.
So I wanted to know if that would be making a comeback.
We're going to have 8 seats around the kitchen, so people will be able to come and sit, actually overlooking the pass, kind of like you are now, except it'll be directly onto the kitchen, so the chefs behind will serve you the food. So we've got 8 seats behind the bar. The pass is going to be open. We've got an open kitchen where you'll be able to see us doing whatever's going on.
Do we like that?
Yeah, I love it, because don't ask me about the dishes or the drinks at table 9, but what I do remember, my lasting impression, was the service, and it was flawless. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, very good. And I like chef's tables. We were in Bali this summer and we were invited by the Alila and Seminyak to a chef's table, and it just blew us all away. It
feels
was
so
very,
special.
Very good.
You do.
And we walked in and it was only set for us in the large restaurant. They had candles, and the way that it was all done was spectacular. Very, very good. And everyone, it looks like everyone was working for us. So very privileged thing to do, to enjoy a chef's table, I think.
So that is The Folly. It is opening in Madinat, in the old site of the Rivington Grill, actually, in December. Watch out for it. And a restaurant that's been open for a little while, but they've got a new menu, is Hakkasan.
Indeed. So I couldn't believe that Hakkasan is 15 years old. I sort of still think of it as a kind of newish, modern brand. Alan Yao, he's got Yautra as well in London, a few other restaurants. So Hakkasan, 15 years old. Obviously, the one in Dubai is not 15 years old. It's based at the Jumeirah Emirates Towers on the ground floor. So in celebration of these 15 years of Hakkasan going from strength to strength, they've got a special supplement to the a la carte menu, and it's called an only at menu. So there are a variety of dishes that are on this only at menu. And then every, like you said about the Enigma, every 2, 3, 4 months maybe, they're going to change these and put new things on. And so you will only find these particular things at this particular Hakkasan. So the one in London, the one in New York, the one in Abu Dhabi, they're all going to have a special only at menu, and there'll be sort of different items on there. I have to say, I really, really enjoyed our experience on Friday. I know Hakkasan's been around for a while, and I thought, oh, how's it going to compare to the sort of, you know, the kind of evergreen Zoomers of DIFC in Dubai that people tend to just love. And I really liked it. I liked the bar area. That was sort of very, very pleasant, sort of sophisticated. It wasn't too loud. The food was very, very good, served very, very well. And very interesting, one of the things we had a whole load of different ideas, different dishes. But it was a soup. It was like a sea bass soup from this only at menu. And I was so reticent about ordering this. And he said, no, you'll really like this. And they had all these goji berries floating around. And I kind of come to this because it is one of the superfoods. Have any of you ever heard of them or had them before?
Yeah, I've had them.
And how do you have them, Steph?
I have them as a snack with other nuts
so
sometimes.
Sort of like dried fruit, kind of little, look like tiny bright red chili sort of
they
things,
look like
ones,
like little sweet prunes that have been picked too early, and they're bright red because they've been out in the sun.
And apparently very good for you. They're sort of a superfood. And Zara, you've had them.
Yeah,
well,
you can just whiz them into smoothies and they're fine, yeah.
So they had these floating around in the soup with angelica root and sea bass, and it was excellent. I looked them up, and apparently they've been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. And the ancient Chinese monks used to have them when they were up in the mountains in the Himalayas, quite remote. And it helped with meditation and concentration, and also gives you lots of stamina. So real superfood and super menu, and I highly recommend Hakkasan. They also had, as one of their desserts, something called an orange-hinted polenta cake, and another new dessert that they've got. Both of them very, very good. Did not remotely have any Chinese connotations for me, but worked very, very well, and I would love to go back. They've got a brunch, Zara, not too expensive, apparently, 199 dirhams, which I thought was very good for a place like Hakkasan, and their terrace will be opening soon, so I think that might be one to try.
It's definitely one to try out. A new menu. We always love a new menu on the ticket. We're coming back. We're going to be talking about another new restaurant that will be opening very soon. But also, Monica has got a few suggestions of things that you can do this week.
Foodie Tuesday.
Food news and reviews from Monica, who runs a great blog called doindubai.com. Do check it out. Looking at things to do this week in a second, but first, one more restaurant that's going to be opening soon, which has a great name.
It's got a great name and apparently nothing to do with a movie that is also linked to the same name, called Pineapple Express. I don't know if either of you have heard of either the movie or the restaurant.
Oh, it's great.
The movie?
The movie is great.
I haven't seen it. My daughter was like, why did they call it Pineapple Express, Mom? So I'll have to look up the movie and see. But we were talking about goji berries, which is a superfood. Now, this restaurant as well is sort of very much... I liked it. He calls himself a superfood kiosk. So he said this isn't a full-service restaurant at the moment. It's going to be a superfood kiosk where you can go grab whatever it is that you want to sort of keep you healthy for the day. So I'm thinking acai. Do you say acai or achai?
I think acai.
Acai berries.
Neither. I don't even know what they are.
Acai berries, chia and cacao and quinoa and all those sort of healthy, I guess vegan, but not necessarily, options that are going to make you live longer and look more glowing and healthy. But you can go there and eat your breakfast by the side of the pool. So this... A Pineapple Express superfood kiosk is located in Almas Towers, on the first floor of Almas Towers. He's hoping very much to be up and running in the next couple of weeks or so. So we will go back there, try it all, and come back. They've got something intriguing. The reason I mention acai, Steph, is, you know, we hear in Dubai, oh, I can't open yet because my license has been delayed. Oh, I haven't got this license, that license. This poor guy hasn't got his acai shipment. So it's a berry. It looks a bit like a sort of bluish, like a blueberry, but has great properties in that it's apparently a natural appetite suppressant, but it's also very healthy for you.
They are so tasty. Yeah. I only know this because my other half whizzes them up into a smoothie and then puts like peanuts and banana in there, and it's so good.
This is precisely the kind
of
thing I think you're going to get.
It's a treat because, Steph, they are so expensive.
I can imagine if this guy can't get his shipment in.
His shipment apparently from Brazil or Australia, sort of one of those places. And yet again, you see another South American superfood along with chia and quinoa. And here you are. And the goji was from China. So there you are.
Pineapple Express.
For Pineapple Express. I will report back when it's opened.
Now, things to do this week. We've got a few, haven't we? Starting with Oktoberfest.
Yeah, so it is definitely October. Oktoberfest, sort of very German, and I think Zara might be going to this tomorrow. But there's lots of restaurants and hotels that are participating very fully in Oktoberfest. So how about going to the Grand Hyatt one? That also has been in Dubai a long time. We're doing lots of sort of long-established things. So it's basically in its 10th year of celebrating Oktoberfest. I didn't think Dubai was that old, actually. But 10 years of Dubai have been celebrating Oktoberfest. So they've got a massive, great big tent. I haven't been there before. You can boogie on down to a band called Die Kirchendorfer. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly.
Sounds
flying in all the way from Munich and chomp sausages and Apfelstrudel, if that's your kind of thing.
I'm going to report back and I'm going to let you know, Monica, because one of the reasons I'm going is not just because of the food, but because of the music. I've heard about this band.
Have you?
They sound good. They keep coming back to Dubai. Right. So I'm excited.
And in terms of price, Steph, before you ask, 215 dirhams without alcoholic beverages, or 299 if you're imbibing. I might see you down there now. You've told me about the band, Zara. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So can I tell you something else that you might want to do if you don't want to have sausages and Apfelstrudel tonight?
Is it a lot posher than that?
Slightly, but not a lot more expensive.
Mm.
Yes, you're desperate to hear, aren't you? So I shall tell you. You can go down to the Armani Hotel in the Burj Khalifa because well, yes, it is, but not price-wise. So this is why I mention it, because it's, you know, it's all very, very much more accessible than it would be if it wasn't part of this promotion. So it's called a Gourmet 10-10 promotion. So from the 1st of October to the 10th of October, so 3 days have already gone unless you get down there tonight, you can experience any one of their restaurants. So you've got the Armani Hashi, the Armani Deli, the Restaurante, or my choice would be the Amol. You have a 3 or 4 course menu for 350 dirhams.
Which per person?
Per person, yeah. That's normally per person. And I think that for a place like that is really good. We had to go there on Thursday. We were just meeting someone there. We weren't eating there. And I went up and had a look at the restaurant. And it was a very, very elegant, very, very classy feel. This was the Armani Amol. And I think that's a very, very good way of experiencing a restaurant in the Armani Hotel. So it's the Armani Hotel Gourmet 10-10 promotion on from the 1st to the 10th. But I think you should book beforehand because I reckon that's going to be quite popular.
And there's also a really good deal going on at the Marriott at the minute as well.
There's a very, very nice deal going on at the Marriott. I think it's going to be deal of the week, actually. It's the Dubai Marriott Harbour Hotel and Suites. Anyone know where it is?
Is it just off Al Kail Road?
No, I think it's like Al Safur Road, that side, sort of past Le Meridien, the Manusa Yahi, past the West End, those sorts of areas, kind of across the water from the Grosvenor House. So the Dubai Marriott Hotel and Suites. No, so they've launched different things for every day of the week. And Monday, I thought, was a very good deal because it's 29 dirhams only for beverages for the ladies. And then instead of coming out with sort of little canapé and things like that, they've just said, you know what, 50% off, blanket 50% off all the food. And there's a very nice restaurant there called The Observatory, which is where this thing happens.
We know the Observatory.
You know, well, there you are. So you know where I am now. It's not off Al Kail Road, Al Safur Road, that side. 52nd floor, and it's got really, looks like it's got very amazing views. So 29 dirhams for a beverage, 50% off food on Mondays for the ladies. I think that's a very good deal. And you'll be pleased, Steph, to know that Tuesdays is their gents night. Again, it's 29 dirhams for whatever you'd like to drink. The food deal isn't quite the same. I think it's, I don't know how much it is, but for a steak. But they'd obviously have to pay for any ladies that they bring with them full price.
I do like the guys to have equal opportunities when it comes to dining out. Monica, thank you so much for joining us.
We'll see
you in 2 weeks with more food news and reviews. Check out Monica's blog, doindubai.com, if you're interested in anything that we talked about today. We're also going to get it up on our blog as well, which you can find at dubaieye1038.com on the ticket page. We had a text in from Tarek who says the Akai Spot has the best Akai in town.
The Akai Spot.
We will have to check it out. Yeah. Thank you very much for your text, Tarek. Monica, we will see you next week.
See you.
We're going to be hearing more from Mark tomorrow, who has got a lot of plans whilst he's in Kyoto this week. Quite frankly, though, speaking of food, we are worried about his bananas.
Well, there's another place that is definitely on the list of places to visit, and that is Monkey Mountain. Now, I know it sounds a little bit like Monkey Mountain, but it's very close to the bamboo forest, and you can go up steps. Now, I must say, I had to have a rest two or three times getting up those steps, because when we say it's a few steps, it's quite a way up. You've got quite a way to walk up, but it's a fabulous kind of nature ramble. A lot of tourists, you meet along the way. But once you get up to the top there, it's filled with monkeys, and all these monkeys want to do is come and say hello and have something to eat. But they're kind of tame. They're not monkeys that attack you. And I've heard of monkeys in various different locations in the world that will try and grab your bag or your camera. They're not like that. All they want is a piece of apple or some nuts. You can go and buy them some goodies, feed the monkeys. And also, once you get to the top of Monkey Mountain, you have the most amazing views of Kyoto. It looks right across the whole city and perfect for your selfies, and I'm a big fan of selfies, Zara, so I've been taking a lot of those on Monkey Mountain.
And how do we follow your adventures?
Well, you can follow my adventures either on our Instagram. I posted a lovely picture last night of some of the food that you can get here in Kyoto, and there's going to be a lot more going up a little bit later on today. Also on Facebook, videos, pictures on Facebook, and of course the blog, which I'm going to be putting together a little bit later on. If you get to dubaieye1038.com, check out the blog with the tickets live in Kyoto, Japan.
Yes, check it out to make sure if Mark has managed to keep a hold of his bananas.
Yeah, more from Mark in Japan tomorrow. We're going to be back from 1 o'clock and not only got an interview with James Morrison.
I know.
In Gig Tripping, but we'll also be giving away a meet and greet.
Whoa.
To his gig, 7th of October at the Dubai Opera. Make sure you are tuned in for that. I cannot wait.
And if no one's interested, we will just have to take it.